want to get to the truth as quick as you can. It doesn't matter that you're starting from the beginning. You just want to know.
And these are things that we need to protect. And I know these are things that a lot of people will have an issue with us on this podcast saying, but we truly believe in the family that God created from the start and the purpose he had for it in the start. Being a marketing person, I feel like that's down your alley.
Yeah, it's because it's like you're in it live, like it's just easier to visualize the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's more real.
Yeah.
So,
it is. Well, welcome, ladies and gents. Welcome to another episode of Talk to Me. You know it. It's the show where I get my friends to talk to me, and now we're just getting the ball rolling. Just every week, a new person wants to jump on. I don't have to beg them as much as I had to once before. People are excited, and my guest today is as scared as could possibly be, but also very excited. Anna, thank you so much for jumping on today.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you.
Thank you.
Why did you decide to do this?
It was a moment of weakness.
Okay, I'll take it. Okay, why?
No, I'm genuinely excited to be here. I'm very proud of the work you do, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Well, I really do appreciate that, because it's been a lot of work, and I think you, out of a lot of people, have actually understood it. There's been, I don't know, I feel like you and I have had a lot of conversations about what we're doing here, about the marketing side of things, because you've got a background in marketing, and I feel like you've gotten it. You've understood where we're going with it.
Yeah.
What is it that's appealed to you about it, or has made you not decide to rip us apart?
So marketing background, I love the aspect of branding and putting forth, you know, one whole image of yourself in your brand online, in real life. So I think it's really cool how you've basically turned yourself and your friends into your own brand.
Don't say that. I think we are not a brand. That's so weird. I hate it when people say, you know, you're a brand now.
I think it's better than what you think. What I'm trying to say is that, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
No, go for it. I feel like you were on something and I just ruined you.
Yeah, you did. I feel awful.
You're saying you like the fact that we were turning our friendships, our circles into a brand.
Yeah, so your relationships have become this almost tangible brand that you get to share online. And I love how it's so consistent on every platform, and it's such a strong kind of branding and image you guys put forth. It's really, I think it's recognizable that this is part of your life for real. I think it's really cool that you've been able to mix your life with a business so seamlessly.
Interesting, because that was actually a big fear. So when we started doing this, Stat and I had a lot of conversations about the fact that we're on the internet. And being a Christian on the internet means that you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. Mm. I mean, just being a Christian in a church setting or a leader in a church setting, you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. You're saying, I'm willing to be an example. I'm willing to be a person that's looked at and judged and ridiculed to a certain extent. Yeah. So when Stan and I decided to do this and we started putting this together, we had a lot of conversations about what are we going to be on the internet that is different to our real life, or what is the standard we're wanting to set? And that was a massive fear. Like, that was something that actually stopped us from doing it for such a long time, because we weren't ready to say, look at me, or we weren't ready to say, this is it. Like, this is what we do. This is who we are. Go for it. You know, just go crazy, because we get the text messages, we get the phone calls, we get the messages saying, as if you said that, why would you do this?
Yep.
Thank God some of them are from great people who actually care about us, but some of them are from people who are just ready to find something.
Yeah.
So have you found, not being our friend, have you found that we've stayed consistent with who we are as people, or has it been a show back and forth?
I think it's quite consistent. I think you guys do a really great job at being the same people you are both in person and behind closed doors, and, you know, online and offline. It's really great to see. I think it sets a great example that you can be a good Christian and you can be good people every day, no matter the landscape you're in, digital or not digital.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a front.
Yeah.
And the consistency that you're putting forth, digital and non-digital, people are seeing that these guys are actually – your mates are watching you online and saying they're actually the same when we hang out, when we go out for dinner, when we hang out at church, which is really great, because it just builds a stronger image leading towards Christ.
Yeah. And I think that was the big thing. I mean, when we finally finished those conversations, what we ended up coming down to was we are willing to be people that make mistakes on camera.
Yeah.
We basically taken the attitude of, I will say something dumb 1 week, and that happens a lot because I have a big mouth. I will say something dumb 1 week, and then the next week be willing to retract that.
Mm-hmm.
And that not be an issue. Because I think, especially in today's day and age, there's a lot of people out there who say you cannot make a mistake with anything that comes out of your mouth.
Yeah.
But if you're willing to say, no, you are allowed to make a mistake, you are allowed to have an opinion that's wrong, and then fix your opinion later down the track,
mm-hmm.
that's a good place to be at.
Yeah.
So that's sort of where we stood. And ladies and gents, I know this has turned into about our show and it's not about Anna, but these are the conversations Anna and I have a lot about. And that's sort of what I wanted to bring to the table here, because you do have a marketing background. Mm-hmm. You've been marketing for a while now. You've got your degree in it. Mm-hmm. What is it about marketing that took you, that interests you, intrigues you, takes you down that pathway?
So I grew up a fairly creative person. You know, from a young kid, I was a drawer, to be honest.
Really?
Illustrator.
What were you drawing?
Anything and everything. People.
Did you have a specialty?
Yeah, probably people.
People,
yep.
Okay.
So started with characters, and then I aged a bit and they got a bit more realistic. A lot of fine line sketching.
Nice.
So I was always very creative, but I never felt like I was creative enough to do this, to just be a creative.
Yeah.
And I also found that I was very good at business.
Okay.
You know, a different kind of mindset. And during school, you know, I did two majors. I did design and tech, and I did art, which really taught me how to be creative for a purpose. So when I'm trying to figure out what to do with my life after school, I felt like my only real skill set was creativity. How do I turn this into a job? How do I make this an income eventually? So researching, I could not fathom doing an arts degree.
I hate arts degrees.
I could not stand the fact that I'd have to tell people I was doing an arts degree. I didn't think, you know, I was very good at maths or science or teaching. I landed on marketing, you know, business degree and communications degree. So I did marketing, I did advertising, and came to love it over my 4 years in uni, and went straight into the field after that.
Okay, so it was just a process of elimination for
you. Yeah, pretty much. What am I good at? How do I make it useful?
Yeah, fair. So it was pretty much a process of elimination for you.
Pretty much.
Figure it out and land on it.
Yeah.
Was that a long process?
It was a scary process, being 17, you know.
Yep.
And not really knowing anyone else who was doing it. No one really understood it. I had no relatives who understood. I had no family friends who knew what it entailed, the job.
Yeah.
To me, it was kind of like an engineer. Like, I have no idea what an engineer does. I still don't. And I think...
Isn't your brother an engineer?
He's an engineer. So when I told people, like, I'm thinking of doing this, everyone was like, still, like, what does that mean? Like, what are you going to do?
What do your parents say to that? Are they scared or supportive, or like, just go for it?
They were supportive, you know, as long as I went to uni, I think they were happy. That was a hard and fast rule. You finish school, you go to uni. And we all did. But thank God for that. They were very supportive. And even now she's trying to get me to go back to uni.
Why? What are you going to do now?
I can go back and do a master's in ed.
Okay.
Yeah. Business teaching.
Nice.
Strong possibilities.
Really? Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Potential. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, my parents, they struggled with the fact that the marketing landscape is increasingly digital.
It's ridiculous right now. It's
hard
so
to be
different.
A Christian.
Really?
In the marketing world.
Why?
And this is something my mum and I have constant conversations about, and whether, you know, I should stick through it, move on, try something else. I you can't really control what you're being asked to put forth into the world.
Okay. So let's dive down that path. What are you considered in your role? Are you a marketer? What's your title, your job title?
Yeah, so generally a marketing assistant, specialist. Okay.
So you're a marketing specialist that walks into a marketing agency. Is that the role that the job that you would take? Like, sorry, is that the company you would work for, a marketing agency?
Generally speaking, but so far in my job history, it's been in a small marketing team for a completely random company.
So you're a marketing assistant for a random company. Mm-hmm. And you're being told you have to market this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. What is it about your Christian faith that makes it difficult for you to do that in that field?
Yeah, I guess it depends on the content.
Okay.
So if I'm being asked to, you know, put forth content regarding, I don't know how specific I can be, but Pride Week, for example.
Yep.
It's quite difficult as a Christian because, you know, it obviously goes against the things I believe in or I stand for. And it's quite difficult to balance
your beliefs and sticking to the trends that you have to for your
work. Because you have to keep up with the constant trends.
Yep.
And a lot of these trends, you know, terrible music, terrible imagery, quite provocative.
And it's gotten so different with TikTok.
Yeah, 100%.
TikTok's changed that game entirely because I was saying this the other day. When we were in school, the common music that was considered appropriate or the top of the charts were pretty standard. Like there was nothing in them that you'd consider majorly appropriate. You had your one off or your two off. Mm-hmm. But now 9 out of the top 10 have swearing in them, or they're talking about sex, or they're talking about inappropriate stuff. Yep. And it's like, we've really changed, and that's all flown to TikTok.
Yeah. And it gains so much traction. So everyone wants to use it. And it's so difficult to be so involved in this world as a Christian. It's hard.
Yeah. And you have to toe that line in a company saying, listen, that's a lot of hard arguments, hard conversations, that you're going to have with your employer saying, I'm good at my job, but I am going to skip trends on purpose.
I mean, it's great because it gives me an opportunity to share the gospel with people I might have been afraid to otherwise. But they are extremely difficult conversations to have for someone who is not very confrontational.
Well, okay. So let's go back then. You're a Christian in the marketing world. How do you become a Christian in the first place?
So I grew up in a fairly Pentecostal orientated family.
Yep.
I've always gone to Christian schools. Even though technically my school was Baptist school, it was quite Pentecostal.
It was a non-denominational school, wasn't it?
I went to Regent's Park.
Yeah, so that's non-denominational, isn't it?
I thought it was a Baptist. Because the Connecting Church is Baptist, so I just...
Okay, fair enough. Yep, so either way, so you went to Regent's Park.
I grew up always knowing the Lord, really. I can't give you a definitive moment where I gave my heart to the Lord. I am notorious for having a horrible memory.
Fair.
But I know that I have the heart for the Lord, and I know that that moment occurred and I've lived my life for the Lord.
Do you remember the time frame? Was it primary school years, high school years?
Well, I was baptized at 11.
Okay.
In my old church. So I'm going to say around ages 10 to 11 is when I made that declaration. Going to Pentecostal churches, I got baptized at 11 in my pastor's swimming pool.
Nice.
Quite a story.
Go for it. Hey, we've got the time.
Just literally, because it was quite a small church that they didn't have a fancy baptism pool. So everyone after the service went back to his house.
That's mad.
And me and my brother in his swimming pool baptized.
That's old school.
Yeah.
That is old school. That's mad.
Yeah. So a year before COVID hits, we leave the church.
For what specific reason, if you don't mind?
Yep. Just an uncomfortable feeling, kind of everyone in my family felt across the board.
So was it all five of you?
Pretty much in sync, which is really pretty crazy.
In sync. So what, it happened, let's say 6 month period, whatever the period was, you guys just all started to feel
no
the
one
same
wanted way. To go to church.
Wow.
Listen, my dad kind of always struggled with attending that particular church. Not because it was Pentecostal, I think subconsciously maybe he knew something wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
So he was kind of always like, oh, church, what a waste.
Yeah.
But we all went every Sunday as a family. And then 6 months to a year before COVID hit, yeah, I don't want to go. Something's not right.
Okay. Like, how old are you there at that point?
What year was COVID?
2020.
I would have been 19.
Okay, so you're just out of school.
Yeah.
You're sort of looking at life and thinking, what do I want my life to be in all areas, whether it be career, family, and church. Yeah. And you've thought to yourself, yeah, I'm not happy in this area.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm sort of uncomfortable.
Yeah, kind of. It doesn't make sense to be here. It doesn't feel like it should.
Mm-hmm.
I can't describe it any other way than it's quite subjective. So we left the church, and then COVID hit, and we couldn't go to any church, which was the biggest blessing to have ever happened to our family, because we would just sit on YouTube and watch and research and understand more about what we believed, and started to realize, hey, we actually don't believe what we were used to and what we're being taught.
So did it prompt conversations between you guys?
100%. Really? Family discussions, family debates, constant, you know, living room discussions. Not so much arguments, but like...
So no tables being thrown?
No tables being thrown.
Okay, good. Nice.
Because
that's a very common occurrence in the Lebanese household.
Oh, 100%. And it's happened, just not in this context.
Good.
Yeah, so...
But you guys are having a lot of conversations about it. You're starting to see, wow, we're really... listen, the thing I love about that is you find yourself in the middle of a family who really does love the Lord, who really does want to obey Him and serve Him and glorify Him.
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I personally believe that is the greatest place to be. No matter what type of Christian you are, no matter what the situation is, a person that is seeking the Lord, whether you're a Christian or not, a person that is seeking God and really wants to know if their life is pleasing Him, that is the best spot to be, because that's when the Lord is going to guide you and lead you in the right direction.
And we were all in the exact same place. You know, even my brother was still home at this point. Like, it was, and to be so secluded from the outside world during that COVID time was an even bigger bonus, because we could just really sit and understand, no distractions, delve in as deep as we wanted, no outside noise. It was such a crazy experience. And then we were stumbling across YouTube, different pastors learning, and we stumbled across some of Pastor Mansell's videos.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, we're like, video after video, like hungry. Like, I want to know more. I want to watch more. I want to hear more, because this is not like anything I've ever heard before.
How'd you stumble across it?
Honestly, it was more mum's hit discovery, because she is a YouTube, like...
Really?
Fanatic. Dead set. Yes.
So is she a big Mr. Beast fan? I'm just saying, Joseph's sitting back there, we're big Mr. Beast fans in here.
To try and explain to her who that is would be a whole nother thing. Like,
you know what? I want to be there for that conversation.
You're invited.
I cannot wait to see that conversation play out. So she's scouring the internet.
She's just, I think she's just... We start Googling topics, mm-hmm. and sermons on those topics. And then you're just going through this rabbit hole of videos and a Faith Baptist. Somehow we stumble across these videos.
That's a dangerous game to play sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
Because you don't know what you're going to stumble across. You don't know what you're going to get.
Yep.
How does she navigate? Did she navigate? Do you know?
A lot of prayer. Honest, you know, crying out to God, like, just show me the truth. That's all I want to know. That's all I want to hear. Feed me with the truth.
Okay.
And it kind of filtered itself out for us.
Sorry, I know I keep interrupting, but that is a phenomenal point in that we complicate Christianity a lot.
Yeah.
We think that there's some formula to working things out.
Mm-hmm.
We think that there's some formula to trying to find the right way to live, when really, if you put it before the Lord and you pray, He's going to lead you.
He wants you to know.
Yeah. I don't know how long it took her. Do you know how long it took her to find Faith?
Honestly, not sure, but it wasn't that long.
Okay. So it's this short period of time where she's literally crying out to the Lord, and you're all crying out to the Lord in your own way.
Yeah.
But she's putting work behind it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, like, she's praying constantly day in and day out, and then she's like, you know what? God, I'm gonna search. I need you to just guide me in the right direction. Yep. And instead of going left, he leads her right. Instead of going straight, he tells her the backtrack. Yep. And somehow she comes across this YouTube channel of mm-hmm. Faith Baptist Church, finds a sermon that she connects with.
Yeah.
And then goes forward with that. So I would just say to, if you're listening to this, I address you guys sometimes. If you're listening to this, pray. And search, pray and put in the work. Whatever it is you're doing, whatever it is you're trying to get involved with, pray and search, and then God will lead you in the right direction.
It's crazy how in your face the truth has been the whole time. Mm. I mean, we went to school down the road from this church.
Yeah.
My data used to attend the church occasionally in the Arabic services.
We've parked outside your house literally.
My neighbor attended the church and had Bible study sessions at his house. So all of you guys would literally be a street, like a house away from my house.
I have parked next to your driveway.
Yeah.
For the last, how old am I? 26. For the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Literally outside your driveway in the same spot every single week. And you guys were just there.
Yep, had no idea. Yeah. We knew there was a Bible study happening, didn't really know much else about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Faith Baptist used to come and preach at the nursing home my Jiddo was at as well. So this church was just in your face whole time, no clue.
You weren't looking for it.
Yeah. Wow. And then as soon as we were, God didn't make it difficult. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you guys start watching on YouTube. I'm gonna do this. You start watching on YouTube.
Yep.
You're looking into it.
Yep.
These can be some tiring nights because COVID was weird.
Yeah.
COVID was very weird. Like it'd be 12 p.m. and you'd be exhausted.
Yep.
But that would all go away if you just had Magic Mind. See what I did there? Do you see what I did there, ladies and gents? Our sponsor, Magic Mind. I was contemplating doing that throughout that entire story. I'm so happy I did. Listen, look at this little bottle here. It's a little bottle of magic. It's a little bottle of perfection. It's called Magic Mind. It's a productivity shot, and you need it in your life. Magic Mind has been good to us, so why don't you be good to them and give this stuff a shot? It is known as a productivity elixir. It is beautiful. You take this with your morning coffee, just take the shot. You do this about 3 days in a row and you will find that your life is different. Let me tell you how it's different. I'm no longer exhausted at 2 p.m. Don't tell my boss this, but I had a nap today at 3:30 to 3:45 because I was exhausted because I've run out of these beauties. But Magic Mind is sending me more and they want to send you more. If you just click the link in the description or type the code, have a chat 20 and Magic Mind will send you out your shots and you won't have to be as tired as I was today. I'm very happy with that little
very good
segue. Sorry. I'm so sorry. That was nearly as bad as a pun.
If it works, it works.
It works.
Business is business.
I'm glad you appreciated it, being the marketing expert you are. So, excuse me, you find Faith.
Yeah.
It's so weird to be plugging that in the middle of this conversation.
Yeah, sure.
You find Faith, you guys start coming.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like?
Really, really weird.
Okay. I don't want to say what's it like as in the church and plug the church. For you.
Yeah.
You've been going to a different type of church your whole life. And now you've walked into here where it's a lot more formal, the music's a lot different, the preaching's pretty in your face. Mm-hmm. What's it like for you?
Yeah, well, it's a culture shock, mm-hmm. culture shock and a half because, I don't know if there's anything wrong with a more casual, more formal environment regarding church, but that was a massive, like, the first shock was, wow, like, everyone's put on their Sunday best and they're here. And I really love that and appreciated that because you're dedicating this day specifically to the Lord and you're putting your best forward and it's respect and it's reverent. Mm. And that was the first thing I noticed straight off the bat, which I loved. The environment is a lot calmer. I mean, I can't speak for any other Pentecostal churches, but you would feel this, not stress, but your senses are heightened.
Why?
Just the music. It's dark. It's the lighting. It's very emotional. Really, I think it plays with you without meaning to.
Like, so it put you on edge a bit?
Yeah. Me personally, I can't speak for anyone else, quite sensitive to that. Mm. But, you know, the lighting, the music, it's quite emotional. But I think that God is peace and calm, and that there's no confusion about that. You know, if you're feeling these things, it's not from God. He's secure. He's, you know, calming, peaceful, you know. I don't really know how else to...
No, you're putting it perfectly.
To say it.
Yeah, the Bible says he's a God of order.
Yes.
And that is a massive thing. I mean, I went to a non-denominational school in high school, and that was a big culture shock for me because I'd been in a Christian school, Baptist school prior to that, and grew up at Faith. And I found for me, it was shocking to see how disorderly things were, not because of, you know, people's bad intentions or anything like that, but because everyone believed something different. And it was interesting to me to see how my spirit would witness to me, and my spirit would say to me, hey, this ain't right. Go question that. Go talk to your dad about that, because that happened a lot. One thing in particular that I remember, I was in, I was part of the leadership team of the school. Like, I was a prefect or something like that in year 11.
Sounds about right.
Why is that funny?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I was a prefect in year 11. I didn't last year 11. But in my first 6 months of year 11, I remember we would have prayer sessions. We'd go into the English classroom and we'd all stand like leaning on the tables. So it was like a big U shape, and we'd all stand leaning on the tables, hanging out. And I walked in and I just felt uncomfortable. Didn't know why.
Yeah.
Maybe because I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be a prefect. They forced me into it, that sort of stuff. But I stood there and I looked around and I go, okay, well, we're going to pray. Like, you know how to do that. Let's just do that. And then the teacher came in and he said, okay, we are going to pray together. I go, beautiful. No issue there. He goes, at once. I go, okay, what do you mean by that? And he goes, we are going to pray out loud together at the same time. And we're going to shout to the Lord.
Okay.
Never heard of this a day in my life. I was 16 years old. Mm-hmm. Never heard of it. Never even knew it was a thing. But there was something in me saying, this isn't right, bro. Mm. Don't do it. Mm. Ray, don't do it. And so I just stood there and I prayed in my heart and I prayed silently. And I was like, Lord, what is going on? I need to understand this. I need to know what's happening. So I went and spoke to my dad about it later. And he said to me, mate, that's not right. That's a belief system in that they all pray at the same time to God because they think it's got more power and they can bring forth a spirit into the room. I was like, okay. He goes, you need to remember our God is a God of order, and he's not going to walk down that pathway because there's no order in that. Everyone's praying all over each other. It's not edifying to you, and it doesn't do anything different to you praying normally. So Your spirit does witness to you in that regard. It does show you, hey, this is wrong, this is right.
Yeah.
No matter what the situation might be.
Yeah, I think we definitely felt that, you know, in our spirits.
So you've come through.
Yeah.
Are you at peace now? A couple of weeks go by, a couple of months go by. Are you starting to get peace, or are you still uncomfortable with your Christianity at that point?
I'm not going to call it uncomfortable. But it's like going back to being a baby again and learning from scratch, because I feel like everything I knew, the foundation for my whole belief system was wrong.
Yeah.
So
that's a hard place to be, and it's a hard place to allow yourself to get to. It requires a lot of humility. I know you spent a lot of time being uncomfortable at your last church, and I know COVID, you guys spent a lot of time talking to each other, so you probably got yourselves to the place where you were happy to start again, in a way. Was that the case, or was it hard for you to realize a lot of what you had learned was wrong?
No, I think it was actually very easy, because when you have such the desire to know the truth, or such a hunger to learn, you want to get to the truth as quick as you can. It doesn't matter that you're starting from the beginning, you just want to know. So it wasn't difficult. I mean, it makes you question a lot, you know. You go back and you rethink things your whole life. You know, I even questioned if I needed to get rebaptized, because I made that decision based on a different understanding.
Did you ever question your salvation?
No.
So you were solid in that?
Yeah, I think it's very much a heart thing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because there are plenty of different doctrines and, you know, the older generations as well who were taught under different doctrines who probably had a genuine heart for the Lord without even really understanding their own doctrine.
Yep.
I'm not God. I'm not their judge. I think that that's between them and them. But I felt personally that my heart was for the Lord and I didn't need to question that.
What was the most difficult thing to wrap your head around as you were relearning everything? I know that's a difficult question to ask. But in that, like, I know me, I would get very frustrated very quickly. I'm a very, I'm an impatient bloke when it comes to being taught the wrong thing. Like, I just want to know it, move on.
Yeah.
So if I've gotten to the point where you're about 20 at this point, 21, and I've realized I've got to start relearning things, I'd probably get impatient and frustrated. Mm. Was that the case for you, or were you excited to finally be learning?
I think it's a mix of both. I mean, not every day was the same. Some days I'm like, I feel so silly for not knowing these things, and it's quite frustrating. It's very humbling.
Yeah.
You know, especially like I walk into Bible club and these kids know so much more at that age and that I never knew.
Yeah.
It's very humbling, but it's also a blessing to see.
But going to that church, were they not teaching you that during those age groups?
The consistency and the it was never a formal Sunday school. I'm pretty sure they tried their best like to have some sort of lesson, but there was no especially my youngies, I don't think us as a family were attending that consistently anyway to be that. So I never experienced that. A mix of lack of consistency and lack of sound teaching for the kids.
But you see it in play, you see how a children's ministry thrives.
Yeah.
And then you start to look at yourself and you're like,
wow.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to do some work, and it's not and it's a good thing. It's exciting, I think, because seeing it come from little kids it's humbling, but it's also like it gives you this like happy joy. Like I want to experience it the same way that they're experiencing it, and I know that I can.
Is that why you joined Bible Club?
Partly.
Okay.
Partly.
Because I found it so cool when I saw your name on there. I was like, Anna, and I went and found you. I was like, what's going on here? And you actually just had your first Bible Club event.
Yeah.
How was that?
Well, I am bruised. I'm still battered and bruised
from that one night.
Yeah.
What was the highlight? What was the thing you found the most? The thing you didn't realize about an event like that?
That event specifically?
Yeah.
Was
there anything that shocked you? Like, oh, I didn't realize that they did this, or I didn't realize the kids were so crazy?
No, I definitely had a feeling that they were crazy. Yeah, but it comes back to their knowledge that shocks me, I think.
Yeah.
And how easy it comes to them, I think.
They've had a really good foundation.
This is my thing, yeah. And it's, I'm almost jealous,
really?
But in a good way.
Mm.
Like, I think it's awesome.
Well, I think it's great that you've joined that ministry because you know what kids need not being in that.
Yeah.
Not growing up in it. I mean, all of us, we grew up in it. Most of us anyway. We grew up in Bible Club. That's why I love that ministry so much. It was part of my childhood years. Yeah. But you coming from a background of not having that in your childhood years and being able to implement some fresh stuff into it, that is a great place to be because it allows you to really go head first and run with the baton.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep, it's exciting.
Nice. So you've continued through, you're learning a lot, you're growing a lot. What's the big takeaway you take from this experience of the Lord guiding and directing you guys?
I think it's honestly the importance of a strong family unit.
Mm-hmm.
I have never witnessed my family in such unison like this before. And the things, the good that would come from being so united in Christ, in the correct foundation, were unbelievable. I think that God knew what he was doing when he instituted the family. And having such a strong family unit based in Christ has just, it's just shown me that I feel sorry for the world who don't have that. And it's become the biggest blessing to me in my life.
Well, it's the one thing that the devil constantly tries to attack, especially in today's day and age. Yeah. We've got people, divorce at the highest rates it's possibly been, different styles of family union. The nuclear family's gone. It's no longer the it thing. It's no longer the thing that everyone strives to have. What do they call it? They call these other families blended or whatever they call it. Whatever the names are. Basically, the family unit's dying and the family unit is being pushed out. And that is a, I believe, a... I've lost my words. It's a concerted effort. It's purposefully done.
Yep.
Because I think... The enemy knows, the devil knows, that if he can attack the family, if he can break it down from the start, that broken foundation leads to a life of disarray.
Yeah.
Which is why it is so important that Christians today defend the family unit as much as possible. Whether that be ensuring that the family sticks together, a husband and wife stick together, that it is a husband and wife to begin with. All these things that people are trying to do, like kids now have all the rights in the world. They can say, no, I don't want my dad to teach me that. I don't want my mum to tell me that. My mum can't tell me I'm a boy if I'm a girl and whatever it is. These things are wrong. And these are things that we need to protect. And I know these are things that a lot of people will have an issue with us on this podcast saying, but we truly believe in the family that God created from the start and the purpose he had for it in the start. And I think you're a testament as to what happens when a family unit grows together, sticks together, and is led by the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think that is a powerful thing, and it is a important thing, and something that needs to be protected.
100%.
Well, Anna, we met.
I was laughing
because this was a very funny time. The first time I had, like, we met at church, like I said hi to you and your family and all that. But the first time we actually interacted like properly and I actually got to know who you were, was at a family event, a sad family event, where everyone was, upset and, you know, mourning. And I had come with Pastor and a couple of the guys to show some support and to be there for your family. And you march into this backyard and you basically abuse your dad. You yell at him because from what I remember, he had said hi to your sister and not said hi to you. And you're like, bro, what's wrong with you? You're not going to say hi to your own daughter. In the middle of this thing, I'm like, what is this chick doing?
Look, obviously it heightens emotions.
Don't blame that.
I'm pretty sure I'd had a long day at work.
Yeah.
You know, I'm obviously quite emotional, standard. And then, I don't know, my poor dad's the last bloke that deserved to cop it. Considering it was his... my poor dad. I'm sorry, Dad, if you're watching this. I take it back.
But I saw that and I go... this chick's fried. Like, what is she doing?
Time and place, right?
Like, ladies and gents, like, I got to explain this to you. There's about 50 family members at this backyard. Like, they're all sitting around. It's a very solemn event. It's a solemn moment. And then old mate just marches in. And it was very funny.
I didn't even know how loud I must have been or how dramatic I was until you've come and told me after the fact. Because I have no recollection of much of that event. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, bits and pieces.
Because I came up to you, the Sunday? Probably. And I was like, yeah, it was good to meet you, but you abused your dad.
Yeah.
And
bless his heart.
How does he hack it?
My dad is a saint. Can I even say that? He's an angel.
My favorite person.
My dad.
Love you, Sam.
Bless him. You know, currently in a house of three other women. And he's such a beautiful person. I love my dad.
Okay, hold on. I'm starting to realize this. Okay, we have a lot of connections through family mourning, okay? Because that happens there.
Yep.
And then a few months down the track, my grandparents both pass away. And then your dad and my dad start talking at my my uncle's place because you guys have come to show your support. And then I'm inside, like, consoling one of my aunties because she's crying. And all I hear is laughter and yelling from the outside. What is going on? So I walk outside and your dad and my dad are standing there laughing and slapping each other and whatever. Turns out they went to the same school.
Yeah.
And they went to the same school, different years. And yeah.
How so they made that connection at that event.
That's what I'm saying.
Very inappropriate.
Yeah. not as inappropriate as yelling at you there, but
it's true.
It is what it is. Okay, Anna, I'm going to close this off. This has been fun. We went down a path I didn't think we were going to go down, so that's great. That's fun. How you know it's a good episode, yeah. Ladies and gents. We actually spoke a lot about what are we going to talk about? Do we touch this topic? Do we not? Whatever. But I'm glad we talked about this is something that I guess I knew about you, but we never really got that deep into. Mm. We spoke about, like, we've had a lot of conversations about different teachings in Christianity and talks about that, but we never got into the whole story of it. So thank you for sharing that. Now, before we close it off, I'm going to put you in the time machine, chuck you in the DeLorean, send you back, let's say, you know what, 5 years.
Okay.
2019, you're about to graduate, or you've graduated. What is the one piece of advice you give to Anna 5 years ago? Or what's the one thing you say to her?
It gets so much better.
Okay.
I'm not really sure.
Elaborate on that.
Life doesn't end when you're 19.
Okay.
You know, God's still got so much more to show you.
Is there a reason for that? There's a lot of 19-year-olds that feel that exact way.
Yeah.
They finished high school. The excitement of it all has sort of died out. They're moving into uni. They're sort of stuck in this place where life really slaps them in the face. Mm-hmm. Whether that be through relationships, realizing that there's a career on the horizon, that they've got 4 years of uni. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that can happen there that can lead a person into a dark pit.
Yeah.
Whether they realize it or not, like, it sort of happens very quickly.
Yep.
They fall into a pit of despair, maybe depression, maybe some anxiety, and they sort of start to forget that there's so much more to life than what is staring at them in the face there. Yep. What is it you need to know at that point? Why is it you need to know that sentence at that point?
I think because if you continue with that attitude, you close yourself up to a lot of blessings, and you shut a lot of doors that didn't need to be shut, and you can often walk the wrong direction, go down a path you weren't supposed to, purely because you're avoiding going another way, or you were scared, or you were sad. You definitely. Knowing that there's more and greater things to come allows you to continue walking with a sense of purpose and positivity, that might have held you back in the past.
100%. And we sort of get stuck in that, and it's easy to get stuck in that, especially as Christians.
Yep.
Especially if you're a Christian ministry, a Christian that is working hard, people that are just living the daily life. The daily life ain't easy. It's a struggle. It gets annoying. It gets frustrating. And can be so easy to get bogged down with it all. But if you're not looking to the Lord and seeing that He does have more in store, He is getting you through these moments to get you somewhere, it can change the way you look at life.
Yeah.
And I think that is vital. I think that's important. And ladies and gents, it is important to look to the Lord. It can be hard. Life is not easy. But the Lord does not put people through hard times for the sake of it. He puts people through hard times to sharpen them, make them better, make them understand something they wouldn't have before. Listen, you don't become a seasoned vet by winning the easy battles. You become a seasoned vet by going through the hard stuff. And you may be going through some hard stuff right now. Life is hard. Christianity is not the easiest road. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're searching. Do what Anna said, pray, look around, see what's out there and see what the Lord puts in front of you. But if you just keep searching, you keep pushing, you keep moving, and you allow the Lord to take control, He's going to do some amazing things in your life and through your life. And I know I'm seeing that happen with you. And I'm so grateful for our friendship. I'm grateful for you jumping on today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Ladies and gents, make sure you subscribe, like, comment. I am not Annalise. Thank you, Joseph. Do all that nice stuff. Because if you do, you know what? You like, comment, and subscribe on this particular episode. Comment cookie, and I'm going to come and give you a cookie. Okay? I'll find you. I'll deliver a cookie to you. You want a cookie? Just comment cookie. Take care, guys. See you next time. Thanks, Annalise.